Okay, so we haven't prayed yet, and I want to do that here in a second. But first, I want to acknowledge just a couple of things real quick. First of all, on Friday and Saturday night, I played Nicodemus in The Promise. And I want to say that because as we're going into this marriage series and we're talking about different marital struggles, those of you that have noticed that I have makeup around my eyes here, we don't have those kind of marital troubles at all. Like, I'm not dressing up and doing anything like that. I played a part in The Promise this weekend, so I got a little bit of makeup on my eyes. The other thing that I wanted to kind of acknowledge this morning is that, like, we need to recognize that Satan is attacking our church and attacking our marriages for several months, and I can't remember exactly when we started talking about this marriage series coming up, but we've been planning this. We have the date on the calendar of when we're going to do the retreat kind of thing, and we're doing all these things. And then, like, as we start getting closer and closer to this thing, I start seeing, like, different people having marital trouble. Some right here in our church, others are outside of our church friends, but in my direct circle, there's all these people that are coming to me, and I'm telling them about this series, and we're talking about it, and find out that, you know, we're not alone. When we're having these marital troubles, we're not at all alone in what's happening. So I want everyone to kind of notice that not everybody has this marital bliss that they show us in different movies, where everybody, you know, whenever we first start dating, and I kind of labeled this Twitter-pated, but whenever we were first dating, we were Twitter-pated with each other, and then after a while in marriage, we can start to be irritated, is the way that I put that. So we can start seeing some problems and having some irritation. Whenever we used to use all these different excuses to spend time with our girlfriend or our boyfriend or whatever, we get married, and after a while, we want to go hang out with our friends and do all these other things, and we start using reasons to get away from them, and it seems like we start growing further apart instead of closer together, like what we should be growing. And I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody, because the Oliver household isn't always marital bliss either. So I wanted to acknowledge these things and these attacks on our marriages, because I think that before we even start talking about this, that we need to just bow before God and just beg Him for forgiveness for where we fail Him every day, and ask Him for protection around our lives, around our wives, our husbands, and just our marriage in general as we start into this whole series. Because I know from experience, and I'm going to talk about that, that whenever you start drawing closer to God and drawing closer to Jesus, that it's going to become more and more spiritual attacks headed your way, because that's not what the devil wants. He wants us to be separated from God, and he wants to cause as much confusion and problems as what he possibly can. So I'm going to pray for this service now, and if you guys will just bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I just stand before you this morning. I am humbled by your presence, and just so thankful for the God that you are, and for your written word that you gave to us, so that we can learn about our lives and learn more about the experiences before ours, and so that we can know that we are not alone. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ, that from them I can see that I'm not alone in the struggles that I've got in my life. God, I want to thank you for Paul, for the Apostle Paul, and the things that he wrote to the different churches, so that we can learn from him and what his knowledge of you was. God, I just want to lift up my own family, my life, my wife Amber, my family to you. I want to lift up all of the families of Cornerstone for themselves to grow closer to you, and God, to protect their marriages from the evil one. There's an onslaught of spiritual attacks happening as we start to learn more and more about what you say about marriage. So we just want to thank you for the protection that you give us. God, make our marriages stronger. Make us humble before you to recognize that we do have struggles, and that there's places we can work on in our lives, because usually whenever we look at marriages, we find out that the problems aren't really the problems of our spouse. A lot of it points right back to us and the problems that we've got and the sins that we've got against you. So God, I just ask that you would provide protection around the families of Cornerstone, and also my friends that are experiencing marital problems this week. But God, not only just us, God, I ask for protection around the Cornerstone family and around this church and the attacks that are coming against our church as we come to a year since the time that we got new leadership and things changed a little bit. We just we want to thank you for this body. We want to thank you for the last year and all the experiences that we've had and the growth that we've had, and just God, for being part of this church each and every single day that we are alive and every time that we come together. But God, just be with us and open up our hearts and minds to your word this morning, and help us to learn something from your word this morning and from each other. In Jesus' name, amen. So, whenever I was preparing this series, and I'm looking at the different stages that we need to look at, and I went through the spiritual attacks, and last week we looked at that, I had like this whole plan for what this first day was going to be, and that this week whenever I was studying, and it kind of just got changed up a little bit. So this cool plan that I had, I just kind of felt like God wanted me to talk about something a little bit different and come at things from a different angle, and that is that we have different difficulties in our marriages, and some of them are different, some of them are the same, but we all have these difficult experiences in our marriage. And I want everybody to know that they're just not alone in their struggles at all. There's other people right here in the church that are having problems. I'm sure you've got friends and family that they go through these bumps in their marriage, but the people that communicate and work through it, they find a way to get through these difficulties. And in 17 years that Amber and I have been married, we've definitely had a roller coaster ride. And that's what I want to talk about. Is this week I was talking with someone, I'm not going to say who, but I was talking with somebody, and they actually said, when we were talking about things, man, it seems like the only people really not having any kind of marital struggles right now is you guys. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Because Amber and I are not the perfect case for a marriage. If people were to study our marriage, it's definitely not the one that I would want to model after, other than we are both making an effort to make everything work, and we're trying and trying to grow closer to Jesus so that we can grow closer to each other. But we're definitely not the model marriage. Amber has stuck with me for 17 years as of August 1st of this year. And there's one reason I can remember the date that we got married, and that's because somebody at our wedding gave us a blanket or quilt or something, and it said, it had like little birds, and I'm glad that Amber's not in here because I could be wrong, but I think it has like little birds on it, and then it says August 1st, 1998. So I'm able to remember that we were married in 98, and then I can just count the years. So 17 years up until today, and Amber has stuck with me through many addictions, not drugs, thankfully, but through gaming addictions. I played a whole lot of games to the point that I talked about before when she was having our first baby. I was not so concerned about us having a baby. I was more concerned over getting back home to a raid that I needed to play on EverQuest. She's been with me through me working too much whenever I was self-employed, constantly working all the time. And as soon as I would get home, I might come in the house and say hi, but then I'd go right out to my office and work some more. She stuck with me whenever we were playing a whole lot of poker, and I was spending a lot of money on buying all kinds of stuff for poker and losing money. And getting some, but I think that over the course of time, I may have lost more than what I actually won. But so I'm approaching this marriage series, and I'm planning everything out, and I start being approached by different people, and I'm talking with different people about the upcoming marriage series. We're going to be talking about that, and then people start talking to me, and there's other people out there having these marital issues. Some people are just strangers. You know, I'm just having a conversation with somebody. Yeah, I'm about to start talking about a marriage series coming up. Oh, man, let me tell you about my marriage. And, you know, it's really prominent there. Everybody has these issues. Nobody has the marriage that we see in the movies where it's always just perfect and there's no problems whatsoever. So there's other people out there that have marriages just like mine, and that's an imperfect marriage. So one of the great things about being a pastor is that I get to study in His Word, and I get to read a lot and study and learn about these different topics. And whenever I'm studying these things, it's cool because I get to learn more about these topics, and then I get to come up here and share with you guys what I'm learning, and we all get to learn together. The tough part of that, the other side of the coin, is that some of the things that I learn are tough to learn about myself, and I don't like to learn those things, but at the same time, you grow, it's just hard. You know, have you guys ever seen that chisel of God thing where the guy's standing there and God is chiseling away at all these little problems that's on him to make him look more Christ-like? That's what I feel like it is, and it's not always easy to have that chisel on you. So I'm getting to learn more stuff. So a little bit more background is that on Monday nights at 7, any of the guys in here? At 7 o'clock, we have Tool Time, which is our men's Bible study group. And we've been doing this for a few years now, and we just started back up a few months ago after a little bit of a break. But it's been fun, and we're starting to grow again. We're reading in Psalms. Sometimes we just talk about different struggles that we have going on in our lives, and we encourage each other and build each other up. We talk about our marriages. You know, we have all these things we're talking about. And in talking about this with one of the guys that doesn't attend here but comes to Tool Time, he was telling me about this book. How many of you guys saw Fireproof? Anybody seen Fireproof? Okay, so a couple people. So Fireproof is a movie, had Kirk Cameron in it. He and his wife were having some struggles. They were on their way to divorce, and his dad comes to him and says, hey, I want you to read through this thing for 40 days. Give me 40 days, take each one of these things to heart, and there's a dare in there each day. And anyway, he follows through this thing, and in the end, you know, they're back in love, great story, and all that kind of stuff. So whenever that movie released, right after its release, they came out with a book called The Love Dare, and it's got 40 days, and it's got 40 lessons, and it has 40 different dares that you're supposed to do. So I'm thinking, you know, it's just another book for me to read, and I don't really know if I want to do that, if I've got the time. And, you know, my marriage is fine, so why do I want to read another marriage book? But then I start seeing some deals. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to read this book, so I need an accountability partner, because if I just decide to do it myself, I'm not going to follow through with it. I'm going to get partway through. I've got so many books on my Kindle that are like, you know, 14%, some 85%, but I never make it through it. So I need an accountability partner. So I talked to a friend of mine, and he's got some struggles just like I've got going on in his marriage, and we're like, okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to start on Monday. This last week was going to be our first day. So over the weekend, you know, I'm planning, I go ahead and I buy the book on the Kindle app, I'm ready to go, and then Monday gets here, and I'm like, hey, man, we're ready to start this thing this afternoon whenever we're through with work. And he's like, oh, man, I forgot about that. I couldn't find the book anywhere, and, you know, excuse. And so I'm like, well, that's okay. I'll help you. I'll help you download the Kindle app, and I'll help you buy the book, and I'll get it installed on your phone, and then you got it with you all the time, so you can read it in the mornings or evenings or just wherever you're at. You'll always have it with you, and you can't say that you don't have your book. So we did that. We got him all set up, and then I kind of cheated a little bit. I went ahead, because I always do that in books. I went ahead, and I looked at the first dare, and I was like, okay, this first dare here is going to be say no negative things. And so then I'm like, huh, okay. I've got Tool Time tonight, and then I'm going to Tool Time. I've got about an hour that I have to be nice, right? So I start talking to Kenny. I'm like, hey, I skipped ahead. I looked at this dare. This is going to be totally feasible for me because I'm only going to be home for like an hour before I go to sleep, and then I'm going to be at work all day tomorrow, so I'm not going to have any struggle with this one at all. And I was like, but you need to beware as we're starting. So I'm telling him, right? It's not going to happen to me. I'm telling him there's going to be some struggles, though, with these different dares, like, the devil wasn't going to want this. And as you start trying to improve yourself, because that's what this book is really about, it's not making your marriage better, it's about making you a better spouse by drawing you closer to God and making it to where you are more lovable, is a way to put that, I guess. So I tell him about this, and we're like, yeah, you know, there could be some spiritual attacks. Not with me, though. I'm not going to have any problems with this one because I've only got like an hour that I'm going to have this stuff. So anyway, I come up here, I read the whole lesson, and it's a good one about being patient, and then I'm like, okay, and there's the dare, just 1 hour tonight, I just got to be good for 1 hour, I can do this. Well, Tool Time finishes, just as it finishes, I get a message from my friend, and he says, hey, I need to call you. And I'm like, okay, what's up? And I call him up and talk to him, and he says, man, you were right. So those attacks just... Because I see my phone ringing, it's my wife, and I'm like, oh, hey. And he starts talking to her, and he says, as soon as he says, hey, she starts screaming at him. And he's like, whoa, wait a second. He's trying to get her to calm down, and he don't know what's happening. He's trying to understand. And then slams down the phone. That's it. End of conversation. So instead of getting angry and angry texting like what your first response is, he's thinking about this dare. We can't say any negative things. We've agreed to follow this, absorb this, and take it and make it part of our lives, and we're going to take these dares seriously. So instead, he calls me, he tells me about it, I try to encourage him. At the end of our conversation, it's exciting for me, right, because now I've only got 30 minutes that I've got to go home, and I got to be nice for 30 minutes and not say any negative things. So I'm like, cool. So I get on my motorcycle, I ride from the church up there to the house, I go into my bedroom, and I'm telling you, I sat down, and I start taking off my first boot. And Amber comes out of the office connected to our room, and she starts in on something about a toothbrush. I'm trying to understand what she's saying. Our communication isn't great. At the end of this conversation, it ends literally with her taking my toothbrush and throwing it at the bathroom wall. Ooh. No mean things, no negative things. I can't say anything mean. So I'm just sitting there. I'm like, Jesus, I need your help right now. I'm about to say some mean stuff. And then I just kind of had a peace, and I sat there for a little while, and then she comes back into our room to go to sleep. And this is what I did different that I wouldn't normally do, because I would have said something really mean whenever my toothbrush got thrown for one. But I said, you know what, Amber, I'm sorry for whatever part of that, whatever misunderstanding we had there. I'm sorry, and I hope that you will forgive me for that. You'd think a pastor would be really good at that, but I still struggle in that area at being apologetic and asking for forgiveness. She did. We talk. We figure out where things went wrong. I still don't know. But we worked through it, and everything was good because of that. So we finally got through this whole little spat that we got, and then I start thinking about that this week, and I'm like, you know what it is? I got 30 minutes. I just had to be... nothing can happen in 30 minutes, and like spiritual attacks immediately coming on to me. While I'm trying to figure this whole thing out. So, no one is alone, and I am. Mine and Amber's marriage is definitely not the model marriage, because we've got some problems also in our marriage, because marriage is never really easy. I know some people have been married for a lot longer than me in this room, and you guys know that marriage always has its up and downs, and there's dirt in all of our different marriages and things that we've had to work through and ways that we're growing. And so... I think one of the things that makes marriage difficult is because we're taking two individual people that have different perceptions about all these different things, and then we're putting them together. God says that we become one, and I think that we do become one, but there's still our individual things, and we all have pride, and we've got all these different things that make us different. So we come in, we think, these are the different responsibilities of both parties. This is going to be the person that changes all the oil. This is going to be the person that takes out the trash. This is going to be the one that does this, and all these different things, but we may not agree with all those things coming into marriage. And then parenting, and there's all these different aspects of marriage that can start tying us up, and we figure out that we may disagree, and then we may start communicating the wrong way, and we end up separating. And we'll eventually talk about communication as part of this series. But this morning, whenever I wanted to start talking about strengthening marriages, I want us to look at like the foundation of what marriage is all about. And the foundation of marriage, I think, will be love. Love is the foundation of everything biblical. God is love. We need love. Whenever people first are dating, you've heard fall in love, right? We fall in love, and there's this emotional aspect of falling in love, and we get to be Twitter-pated with our spouse, and they're perfect in every way. They can do no wrong. That way that, he leaves his cup on the end of the couch instead of putting it into the sink. That's kind of cute. You just pick it up, put it away. After a few years of marriage, that's really annoying. The way that the toilet paper belongs like this, but they keep doing it the other direction. Whenever you want a new toothbrush and your wife thinks that your toothbrush is new, but really that's not what she was thinking, and it gets thrown against the bathroom wall. So there's all these different things that can start happening. We start off just great, and we're doing all these things for each other, and we're just trying to work through this stuff, and then we just start kind of disagreeing and getting kind of hurt. The other thing that can happen is like whenever your husband wants to go hunting, but you're wanting to clean the house, and so you have this disagreement about what you should be doing, and then he storms off out of the house anyway to go hunting, and you wanted him to clean the house, so you get left behind, hurt, and there's all these different things. But the guys, we also get tired of her whining about us wanting to go hunting whenever we told her 2 months ago that we were going to fix the toilet that needed to be fixed, and she's still bugging us about it, but we said we were going to do it, and eventually we're going to get around to doing that, right? So sometimes and I've seen this right here too, you want to go over to a friend's house, and you want to watch a ball game. And your wife doesn't want to go because you guys are having like these little spats over a toothbrush or a sock or the toilet paper or whatever. You're having these problems, and your wife doesn't want to go over there because their marriage just looks perfect. They're always great. They're always smiling. They're always happy, and you're just not right now. So she doesn't want to be around that. So you just decide, hey, I'm just going to go over to the game anyway. And so you leave your wife behind. She's hurt, she's angry, that just festers, and by the time you get home, it can be angry. And all that you were thinking about is the Cowboys whipping up on the Chicago Bulls, right? Thank you. I only threw that in there so that you guys would know that I don't keep track of sports. This isn't my marriage we're talking about in this one because I don't know much about sports. It was actually kind of funny because I said the Cowboys because I'm in Texas, right? And then I'm like, well, I'm gonna say a basketball team. So then I'm like, what's a basketball team? And then I started thinking about that, and I literally searched Google for basketball teams of Michael Jordan so that I go Chicago Bulls. That's how little I know about sports. So that's what you're thinking about, right? You're thinking about this football game that you want to get over there to and watch, and you're not thinking about anything else. But when we fall in this emotional love with somebody, and then whenever there's problems arise that our emotions start changing, then that's when we start to have some problems because we're Twitter pated, we're in love, they can do no wrong, and then emotions start to change a little bit, and then we start to struggle, and we don't really know what to do to deal with these struggles that we're having. So this morning, these last couple weeks, and as I've been looking at this, I wanted to start looking at love as a verb, like it's an action word instead of this feeling that we get. And we'll look at 1 Corinthians here in a second and see where love is actually something that we take action toward rather than something that we feel in our hearts. We need to take action to be loving. And we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 13, and this is like a letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. And we're going to start in verse 4 here this morning. And we've all heard this, but I want to go over it again so we can start looking at this as an action word. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never ends. And there's more to 8 that I'm not going to go over at this time. So the first part of this passage, whenever we're looking at it, is defining love as an action, is that we need to be patient. Patience isn't really as much of a feeling as it is an action. And whenever I start looking at my own life and my patience, I am so very patient in my work. Patrick can attest to how patient I am with our customers that call in, and they will say some of the craziest things, and I can just help them out and be nice on the phone. And only one time in the 2 years that I've been up there have I finally said, I can't help this person. Patrick, you take this angry person. And he took the call, and he helped to make it better. So I'm very patient. But whenever I get home, and I leave work around 5, and whenever I get home, I want to eat dinner. If my dinner is not ready, patience goes out the window. And that happens a lot. Part of that is because I really want to eat whenever I get home because I physically feel ill by the time that 5 o'clock strikes around unless I have enough snacks at work because my blood sugar starts dropping. And whenever my blood sugar starts dropping, something goes null and void in my brain and I don't think about how I'm being until Justin or Patrick or Amber or somebody starts pointing out, you are being awfully mean. Have you eaten yet? And then I go, oh, I haven't eaten. Maybe I am being mean, but I don't really notice it. But it's the same thing that whenever we are trying to learn patience, it can be difficult. And James, Jesus' brother, says this right here. He says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That's patience, right? Being slow to speak, being quick to listen. And that can be difficult sometimes whenever you have your own thoughts, you've already set what you think in place, your spouse is trying to say something different, and you don't really want to hear it. And how many times has any of you guys besides me ever said or heard, I don't want to hear it? Yeah. Kind of all been there. I don't want to hear that. I'm done listening at that point. And that's not what James tells us. But if we follow what James is telling us, then our patience will start to be a whole lot better by being slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to get angry with our spouse. Like whenever he's not understanding about the toothbrush. So the next thing that he talks about is that love is kind. And kindness is another action word. We're showing someone kindness. We're not feeling kindness, we're actually needing to show kindness. It's something that you do, and it's something that you have to do without expectations of something in return. Otherwise, it's not really kindness. You're doing it for some reason. Something interesting. Whenever I was watching one of the sermons that I've watched in the last 3 or 4 weeks, the pastor was telling us a story on there of rubbing his wife's feet, right? And he said, I spent 30 minutes. I bought this expensive wool at some fancy store. I don't even know where. Rubbing her feet for 30 minutes. And the day goes on, and they go to bed, and she's like, well, I'm ready to go to sleep. And he's like, what? I rubbed your feet for 30 minutes, and you're wanting to go to sleep right now? And she's like, oh, I thought you did that because you loved me. So then I start thinking about those kind of things, and we have those kind of things happen in our marriage. We do something kind, but we have expectations later of what we're wanting in return, and that can be a variety of different things. So we need to be doing acts of kindness for our spouse that's just for no reason at all. And whenever I start thinking about those kind of things, I think about, like, myself. I do not like or enjoy whatsoever doing any kind of housework. My attitude for many, 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 many years has been, I'm the one that works to provide for my family, so my wife can take care of everything at home, and I shouldn't have to do anything there. But as I'm studying this love dare, and I'm starting to learn and hopefully growing, I'm starting going, man, that's like a really bad attitude that I've got towards that. And an act of kindness might be to come home and see that there's dishes that needs to be done and actually do them. I'm still working on putting that to practice, just so that you guys know. I haven't done that yet, but I am thinking about that, and I want to start putting some things to practice. So we need to do some kind things for our spouses. And guys, if you're going to go home and load up the dishwasher, I would suggest that you at least ask for your wife's help, because you don't want to be the one that puts dish soap into the dishwasher and then there's 6 inches of suds covering the floor that your wife is not going to want you to clean up, because you're just going to make a bigger mess out of it. So we don't want to do that. And the ladies should beware that if you're going to go and clean your husband's guns, you may want to know what kind of oil to use to do that instead of like some kind of cooking oil, because that may ruin some guns. So you don't do that. Or do something like clean their BMW windshield with Windex and make it all murky. You don't want to do that either. So that's something. Or it could be something, you know, just watching a ball game with your husband. That's or watching a movie or whatever is right for you guys. You guys know each other and know what a kind act would be for your spouse, and we should be looking for ways to be kind on a daily basis instead of it just being like once in a while. When Amber and I were dating, I would do kind things all the time, and I think most of us probably did. I would see flowers on the side of the road, and I would stop, and I would pick these flowers, and I would take them to her, and she loved it, at least I thought so. And then I found out after we were married that she didn't really like me just grabbing random flowers and putting them together, and they're not arranged in any way, and they may not even be flowers that she likes, but it was the kind act that she liked, and at some point I quit doing things like that. So I'm going to have to start that back up again. So the next thing in the scriptures that it says, that love does not envy or boast. So it means wanting something more for ourselves. And then how some couples end up in different relationships than with their spouse, and they end up making a huge mistake because they've been envious of something that they don't have, instead of being excited and constantly happy with what God gave to them in their own spouse. We put our own needs above the needs of what our spouse needs or what our family needs, and that's something that I'm guilty of. And quite a few times you guys have heard me bragging about my trophy of envy that I ride to work almost every day, and that I ride up here to the church sometimes. And that was where I actually put my own desires above the needs for my family. We couldn't really afford a motorcycle, but that didn't stop me from buying one at all, because I really, really, really wanted a new motorcycle, even though I've got 3 motorcycles sitting in my front yard and could have fixed any one of those with a little bit of body work. It was much easier to go spend $8,000 and have a nice new motorcycle that I could just hit a button and it starts up, all the body work's done, it's never fallen, and all that kind of stuff. So I definitely was envious of something and went after that. There were times whenever we were first having our children that, again, that whole I'm the one that works, I don't need to be being woken up with a little screaming baby to change diapers and all that kind of stuff. So my wife would get up in the middle of the night, and she would change all the diapers. She would take care of the screaming. She would feed the babies. While I want to use the excuse that I was incapable because I don't have the appropriate parts to feed the baby, there are ways that that could have been done, but instead I was putting my own desires above Amber's, and I wanted to just sleep all night and wake up the next day refreshed and ready to go to work, and she could handle all that stuff because she was able to sleep any time that she wanted to, was my view, right? Now, do you moms know that whenever you have little bitty babies that are screaming all the time, do you get to sleep any time that you want? I think we find out, what I found out is that you get to sleep whenever the baby is sleeping, and that's what Amber did for a long time. Just anytime they were asleep, she was sleeping too. So that was my bad attitude getting in the way there also. But if we seek ways to put the needs of our spouse above our own, then I think that we can see marriages improve, and arguments will be far better if we're arguing about, you know, that whole, you know, like when we're dating, oh, I want to do that. Oh, no, you can go and do what you, no, you do that. Those arguments are a whole lot better than something about a toothbrush. Love isn't arrogant or rude is the next thing. So in the love dare, it talked about being envious or rude, and that's something that definitely hit home with me because it talks about sarcasm being rude. I feel like sarcasm is a huge part of who I am, and it's difficult to not be sarcastic. And whenever I'm constantly sarcastic, I can tear down my wife without even thinking about that being happening. And what's kind of funny about that is I read this on the paper, and I'm really trying to take in these lessons and learn from them and apply them to my life. And so I read about this, and I'm like, yeah, man, sarcasm really is a problem that I've got. I can be sarcastic. And so I think back to whenever I first started in seminary classes over at Stonewater, and Joey, the teacher, challenged like three of us in the class to not be sarcastic for a day. I tried, it didn't work, so I just gave up on that for the day. So I knew back then that sarcasm was probably a problem for me, especially if my seminary teacher is going to notice that it's a problem and say, try not to do this for a day. And I try to get better at that, and sometimes I do really good, other times I'm not. An example of sarcasm is, and it is going to seem bad and wrong, and I didn't even notice it as a problem until this week, and I'm trying to do so much better with this, but I am blessed with an awesome, awesome wife. She takes better care of me than any other woman in the world would. I believe that. And one of the things that she does that everyone laughs at me for and picks on her for is for 17 years, Amber always chooses the clothes that I'm going to wear. And she gets up and she sets them on the end of the bed. And that's what I wear every day. Whenever she is gone out of town or something, people can tell I'm dressing myself. Because I'll come in with mismatched everything. Because I just grab whatever's in the closet and put it on, and we're good. But Amber takes care of me that way. If there is something missing, like an undershirt is missing or something, I can be sarcastic here. I can say, she'll say, I didn't get a chance to wash those. And then I might say something like, yeah, because you were so busy yesterday. That's sarcastic because she stays at home. And my view of her staying at home is that she doesn't do anything but sit around and Facebook and stuff. But as I'm really trying to apply these things, I see that Amber stays home. She takes care of our children's schooling because she homeschools. She runs errands for me throughout the day, brings things to me, sometimes twice in a day. And it's my fault that I left him at home. But for some reason, I have this high expectation that she needs to bring things to me whenever I forget things. So it's kind of a difficult thing, and I'm learning to not be sarcastic, and I'm really making an effort at not being sarcastic with my wife. Because whenever we think about love not being rude like that, it can happen with guys. You know, we are hanging out with the guys, we're talking about things, and we can start, they want us to go do something, like, the old lady didn't want me to do this, or the old ball and chain, and we have all these different references for our wives that are keeping us from doing things that we actually want to do, instead of being more like, I want to go home and spend time with my wife, instead of, she's keeping me from doing this, guy, so I can't hang out with you. Oh, and then they're going to be like, you need to, you know, tell her this and that and all that kind of stuff, and just ends up making you more negative towards your spouse, whereas we should be speaking more positively about our wives with our with our friends. And that's another thing that I'm guilty about, and I want to start honoring my life and my wife by speaking more positively about her and desiring to spend time with her, desiring to go home and watch movies and spend time with my family instead of trying to make it seem all negative and like I don't want to do that. So if we think about how that looks, if we are if we're spending time with our wife and enjoying that time, we're talking very positively about our spouse instead of negatively, then it's going to have a bigger impact on our desire to spend time with them. And also some friends might start looking at how we're talking about our wives and husbands with each other and realize that, you know, maybe there's something going on here and give you a chance to do something different. Love doesn't insist on its own way. And we've kind of talked about that one, that we should put our wives or our husbands' needs above our own. But it's a little bit more than that also. It's about not having to be right and not being controlling, manipulative, or micromanaging with our spouse, because we're supposed to be a team. We're supposed to be one, and there's more than one way to load the dishwasher or iron a shirt or even mow the lawn. And all these things are different actions. They're not different feelings. It's ways we're taking actions on these things. With me so far? Okay. So let's look down at verse 7. It says, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, and love never ends." So can you imagine what our marriages would look like if we took this kind of view toward our marriages and toward our spouses? If we were willing to bear all the difficulties of marriage, and if we're able to believe that our marriage can last in spite of these individual things that we do that are wrongdoing, and that there could be hope for the best possible and the one that God gave us to love, honor, and cherish. And it takes two people to do this. Both parties have to be willing to love, honor, and cherish each other and put each other's needs above their own needs in order for that to work out. And sometimes that's beyond what we can control. But we should be able to endure all of life's difficulties more if we follow what God says that love's all about. So if we were to live out 1 Corinthians 13 type of love in our marriages, and we were to start taking action and doing kind acts and trying not to say negative things and not saying to our spouses, not saying negative things about our spouses to our friends and stuff, what would that look like in our marriages? How much stronger would we be if we were all able to do that? And then the other thing is, if we're out there living this out and being a living example of what marriage should look like, and we're doing that in front of our buddies and in front of our girlfriends and all that stuff, and we're talking nothing but positive about our marriage, they're going to start wondering what that's all about, because that's not something that everybody always does. But it's something that we need to be focused on, and that may give us an opportunity to talk about Christ with these buddies and with these girlfriends, what Christ is doing in our lives, what he's doing in our marriages, and how we're applying what the Bible says, because there's so much truth in this book about almost everything in life. Maybe even everything in our lives can be found in this book, and how our actions should be taken, and it's all a result of love. Whenever we are practicing in action love instead of just a feeling of love, it'll start to apply into our lives, into our marriages, into our love for Jesus, the love for the church, and it just kind of blows up from there into something much bigger and better, and it would be a witness and testimony of Christ's redeeming love for a broken world. So this week, what I want to challenge you guys to do is the same thing that I've had to do with this love dare, and it's kind of funny, I didn't get to tell you guys this earlier, but the very first day was say no mean or negative things, right? Half hour, still had some spiritual attacks, managed to kind of make it through without, you know, too much negative. I could have done better, right? So then the next morning, I get up and I read day two. And I read this great lesson, and then I get to the end of it, and the dare for day two was say no mean or negative things. And on top of that, I'm like, oh, no, I got to be home all evening tonight. But I still managed to do a whole lot better than I normally would have done. And anytime these negative thoughts would start coming up and I'm wanting to say something, I just bite my tongue, cry out to Jesus, tell Amber I'm trying not to say any negative things, so give me a minute. And it was a lot different. So has been a challenging week, and like every day it's the same or negative thing. So I see this whole little thing of we really shouldn't say negative things. That's a big part of what can cause us some frustration and problems in our marriage. So I would like to challenge you guys this week to kind of apply some of these principles to your marriage and learn that love is a verb, and keep reading over 1 Corinthians 13 and trying to just learn to love as an action. Because if we start to apply that, our marriages are going to be a whole lot different. Somehow or another, I've ended up with the wrong page in here somewhere, but that's okay. So we need to be patient, hold our tongue, and instead of saying mean and negative things, we need to actively love our wives. We need to make sure that we are doing kind things. If we have no idea what kinds of things we can do to love our wives better, I promise you, if you ask her, she can tell you a long list. But ladies, try to give like a short list of things that your husband can do to love you better. And I think a big part of that is just communication, talking about things. It's a lot easier to communicate before things start to grow and there's more difficulties and there are more larger obstacles to overcome. As communication is so important in marriage. And for people that aren't married, there's no reason to count yourselves out of this stuff, because as Christians, we're called to love our neighbors, love our brother, love our enemies also. It's like a tough thing, this love thing. And that is, again, taking action towards that instead of just this feeling of love. We need to show our love to everyone around us, and especially to our spouse. We're supposed to love them higher than anybody else that is in the world, and love them so much. And it's going to be like very challenging to love the way that Christ loved, but it's going to transform your life if you're able to apply love as an action, especially in your family and also outside of your family, also in your workplace or whatever it is that you do to start applying that. So everything in marriage, when we're talking about this, is going to relate to Christ and how he loved us so much that he took the action of laying down his life on the cross so that we that believe in him can have eternal life. Like he took that love as an action all the way to the cross and continued to love us to the point of death. And that had him, he even cried out to the Father saying, please, do I have to do this? Will you take this cup from me? And then he had to, and he went and he did it for us so that we could have eternal life. And I think that that's pretty awesome. So Patrick is going to start a little bit of music. I'm just going to pray over us one more time before we leave this building today, because, man, as you guys, as we start applying this entire week, it's like one thing after another can go wrong, and I start like, man, you start to see these spiritual attacks. The more that you look at it, you start to see them, recognize them, and it's easier to just put them in their place whenever you start recognizing it, whenever you're wanting to say mean things. So we're going to need protection this week, along with the challenge. Pray for your wife or for your husband every day this week. Pray for protection over them so that these spiritual attacks are going to stop. So I just want to pray for you guys. Patrick. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your word this morning. I thank you for the Apostle Paul and what he taught to the Corinthians about love being an action word and how to do that, and the different ways and the different actions that love is, that it's patient and kind and endures all things. But God, we need your help. We can't do this alone. We're going to struggle as we try to apply your word to our lives each and every time we see things, and sometimes we understand, but then we forget. But help us this morning to hang on to this lesson about love, and that we would learn to apply it in our everyday lives for us as individuals, so that we can grow closer to you, that we can look more like what Christ looked like as he walked here on earth. God, help us to grow ourselves, and help us to be loving towards our spouse. Help us to do the things, the acts of kindness, have patience, and apply love to our spouse instead of it just being a feeling that we can lose. Our emotions can change, but our love doesn't change if we keep applying it as an action. And if we apply it as an action, we see that emotions are completely and totally different in our relationship. God, I also thank you. I thank you for Jesus' love for every one of us, that he would apply love to his to his life as an action and show us how we should live and show us what the ultimate sacrifice of love is, putting people's needs above his own, putting what you would have us do above our own selfishness and pride and all the things that stand in our way from being more and more like Christ. God, I just ask you to put a hedge of protection around every one of us here today and those that couldn't be here this morning and our friends and family, that you would just protect them from the evil one. Help them to recognize whenever there's spiritual attacks coming so that they can overcome them. Help to sharpen our sword of the Spirit so that we know what your word says and we can defend against these onslaught of spiritual attacks as we're trying to improve our marriages. God, help us to put it into practice this week using love as an action, as a verb toward everyone, toward our coworkers, towards our friends, towards people that we don't even know. Help us to be patient with everyone. God, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for Amber so much. You couldn't have placed a better person in my life so many years ago to be part of me, to share life with. But God, sometimes I need your help to see that. I need your help to live my life as you would have me live it. And she does too. Thank you that we have these imperfections and that we mess up because we learn to grow from them. We learn that through every obstacle that we're able to overcome in our marriage, that we grow stronger and closer to you and closer to each other. I put protection around our families. As we walk out these doors today, I just ask that you would make us different, that we would see you differently, that we would see each other differently, and that we would love differently as we go through this marriage series. God, I just ask that you would help me to know what you want your children to learn over these next few weeks as we approach the time for our marriage retreat. That you would just help us to grow closer together. Help us to learn as much as possible. And God, if some of us are having difficulties right now in our marriages, I just ask that you would draw us closer to you, both of us, because if we all are able to draw closer to you and we meet there, that's the best place for us to meet. God, we love you. We want to honor you with our lives. Help us to be a witness to you. Help us to live lives worthy of our calling. I ask for all these things in your Son's name. Amen.